This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here in the Umpqua Valley, covering a lot of different topics of interest. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been circling around with some of the area educators. Still a few of those interviews left to do to kind of take a mid-year look at what's happening in education around Douglas County. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, and today, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So overall, as you take a look at everything going on in this school year, how do you feel like it's going for RPS?
We've had a great start to the year, but as you mentioned, it's not the start of the year. We're about halfway through into that second semester. I think overall, there's always things to work on, and it's a tricky question. We've got about 6,000 students and lots of employees that are doing great work. But we've had a very, very good start to the year. We're hustling along, excited to see how kids are doing in terms of making progress toward their goals, and buildings are working on that. We've got new leaders who are adjusting to new positions, and we're embracing some of our work around improving instruction. And we've got, most importantly, maybe, is we've got kids doing great work participating on and off, inside and outside the classroom, on the court, and different activities, and they seem to be doing pretty well. Again, other things to work on. We've got some things where we need to get better at, clearly, but overall trending in a real positive direction.
You mentioned some of the new leadership, and I suppose maybe the first area I would ask about was the switch on principals at the high school.
Yeah, we've got a relatively new administrative team at the high school. That also includes a new AD at the high school. And they're working hard to build relationships and make sure we're moving things forward. So we've kept a pretty good we've been working closely with them and their staffs to make sure we've had positive footing, and we have more principals and new positions in our district this year than not. So it's supporting people in their new roles, and they're doing real well at that.
Well, and that's always a lot of transition there, because the positions of principal is so key to how all the staff under them are able to operate.
Yeah, and again, it's these shifts are, it just takes an adjustment, right? It's staff kind of getting used to new people, and as we have transition, for me, the ecosystem of it's great when an organization understands itself well. And if you have a chance to work at different levels and different grade levels and different parts of the organization, it's a positive in the short and long term. So I'm excited to see people with a new challenge. Maybe they've been at a secondary level, now at elementary or vice versa. And I'm excited to see the experiences people are gaining.
So what about new projects going on around the district?
I would say there's probably a couple of ways we could talk about that. I think we have capital projects that are happening, and maybe most notably, people will notice some of the newer type construction capital projects. The most noticeable will be kind of hardening the exteriors of the building. We have an expectation to be complete by September with what we call vestibules, which are controlled access spots into our building that provide extra safety and security. We do have a couple of other projects that have kind of in their beginning started. We have a bathroom facility at Hughcrest on the outside that we're getting ready to get going on. And then maybe not noticeable as you drive by the school, but we have a pretty significant investment with a new softball facility and turf field at RHS. Not always noticeable if you're driving up and down I-5 or dropping kids off at the high school, but it's a beautiful facility. We're getting close to completion there. Really excited about the opportunities for the kids and community with the new field there.
You know, it was interesting to watch that, especially in the fall, and I haven't been over there lately, but I can remember during soccer season, every time I came over, and sometimes I didn't necessarily look that direction,
But I was, as I was walking up to introduce the soccer matches, a couple times I looked back, wait a second, that wasn't here last week.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and I'm we like to do a there's a process to get kind of this project complete, and there's lots of work happening. We're going to press right to the very end. I'm hoping, you know, February 20th has been our date on my calendar to make sure things are complete. But the field's installed. It looks beautiful. We've got, you know, bleachers are on their way. Dugouts are getting completed. There's some extra paving, some touches that are still coming. But it will be an incredible community asset. I think the most beautiful softball field in the state of Oregon. We had someone come by the other day and was made some comparisons to the new field at University of Oregon, their softball field. I think our field's something we can be proud of here in our community.
Now, do you, and I haven't, like I said, I haven't been over there in a couple months, but is there going to be some parking adjacent to that, or is it going to be more a hike down the street?
Yeah, similar to what we have at Finley Field, the parking still happens, what we call the triangle parking lot. There's no, we did some, it's a kind of a longer story, but there is some increased parking, but not so much for patron parking. We move what we call a transition house, kind of close. People will still park at their normal spot if they were going to go to, say, a football lacrosse track event and walk up, up Finley into the field space there. But it'll be a great, great facility. There's been some real neat pictures taken, a couple aerial pictures taken. Work to get done, but hopefully within the month we'll have all that completed.
And what was the advantage of having that right on the campus versus maybe tied in with the Roseburg Park system?
Well, we did look at that. It's tricky for a public organization to kind of put a significant amount of money into a property we don't own. So that was one of the things. We did look at that possibility, but the reality is having it on campus provides a simplicity for us with students and travel. Currently with baseball, students travel to Legion to play. Having it on campus for us was the ideal situation. Again, we have some infrastructure pieces there. Team rooms are there close. Students aren't really traveling. We also have concessions, bathrooms already close. The infrastructure is there already. And I think when you see what that sports complex offers now between the Finley Field and the new softball complex, it'll make a lot of sense when you go and you see how nice that complex is.
Now, at the high school, you added in a number of modulars. Has that continued to increase, or are you pretty much set right now?
We're set right now. So it's hard for me to get excited about modulars. It just isn't something that I get excited about. But it did provide some space for us. There were six classrooms. There were three double-wide modulars. We needed to do that. The board felt like the old main was insufficient for a space for students to be. So that building has effectively been mothballed. We still do have the weight room at the bottom that students use. So the addition of those modulars did provide needed space for us, and we've filled every other space in the campus. So those are still there and being used every day.
And I know the hope at some point is to get a bond passed to put another building there. Ahead of that, is there any discussion about taking the old main down, even if you aren't ready to put another building there?
Well, I think we've attempted this three times in my short time here in 5 years. We do have, probably important for patrons and community members to know, there's for us to access matching funds from the state. And they've actually increased the amount of matching funds, I think, can go up to $8 million. You have to have a current long-range facilities plan. And you need to do one every 5 years. So we're in the process of doing a long-range facilities plan, and that will open up some conversations about what the future of our school should look like. What does the community want to see? What does our board want to see? What's the plan for the next 5, 10, 50 years in the long-range facilities plan? So the question of the Old Main is probably as much of a question as many other of the aspects of of the district in terms of capital improvements. We do know that we do have aging infrastructure. It's not just schools. We've got bridges and other things as well. But I think we're looking forward to engaging the community on a conversation of what is the, you know, what would the community like to see. And I continue to tell people in the community, you know, our community is a great place to be, and our schools have a direct impact, not just in the instruction of students, but also on our ability to recruit the best quality talent that our community deserves.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden Moore, when we come back, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. Superintendent of the Douglas Education Service District, Annalisa Nicholson, will be in studio with us. And on Friday's program, we talk to 4th District Congresswoman Val Hoyle. Superintendent Jared Corden in today from Roseburg Public Schools, talking about things happening in the district this school year. You mentioned the aging buildings, and that seems like that's been a particular challenge since you got here, and especially coming from a district that had seen a lot of new growth in recent years, kind of something, a new challenge.
I haven't gotten any younger, and the buildings haven't either since I've been here. I think it's just something, I think across the county, right, we have to think about our long-term growth and development, the things we want and value. Our buildings, like many buildings, are aging, and I think the average is 76 years old for buildings. So, again, I'm really happy with the way that they have been taken care of. But there is a point at which there's a community conversation of what do we want the future of our schools to look like. And I think that's a conversation that eventually as a community will engage in. And I think there's ways that, you know, I can better engage the community. Sometimes it feels a little bit disingenuous if you is a patron if all you've heard about is just a bond. And so we're looking for better ways to try to have the right conversation with the community in terms of things that they want, getting them information that they need. I think we've attempted that a few times, but I'm not sure if we've done that well enough. And we'll look for different ways to engage the community on, you know, what do we want for our future here? What's our vision? What's the vision of this community for the next, you know, 5, 10, 50, 100 years?
What about staffing levels this year? I know that coming out of the pandemic, that was an issue for every school district, probably nationally. How are things looking this school year?
Most of our positions are full. And that's we've worked hard to make our organization an attractive place to work. There's things we're in the process of relooking at contracts right now to find ways to make sure we can continue to be an attractive place to work. You should love what you do in your life, and we've got great people working with our kids. We've got amazing students, incredible families, and the majority of our positions are full right now. We do have some positions. Our instructional assistant positions and food service, those have been hard to fill positions for us. We do have openings there currently. Majority of the positions are full, but we're always looking for high-quality people who love to work with kids. If that's an interest in the community, please come see us.
And are those the ones that have been the hardest to fill?
They have been. For sure. I think, I don't know if our school district is outside the norm on that. But I think with scaling inflation, I was at the store the other day. I don't walk away with as many grocery bags for $100 as I used to. There are also positions that tend to be entry-level positions on the lower end of our pay scale. And I think we should recognize inflation's had an impact on we have people probably making choices. They may love to work in a certain sector or area, but, you know, maybe moving somewhere else where the need for their budget is more appropriate.
What about your success or the challenge of recruiting the teaching side of the staff? Is that still a challenge? getting folks to come to a rural area for the first time?
Yeah, I think there's a multi kind of pronged strategy, right? The first one is you have to think about retaining who you have. And then it also has to be about supporting the heck out of people, developing that talent. If we think about our classified employees, you know, would they be interested in becoming teachers? They're a non-licensed position, so a pathway for that if they want to see advancement. And maybe the license with our teachers, have you ever thought doing an administrative job? So we have what's hopefully clear to our own employees, a path. I often say, you know, we don't want people to rent in our school district. We want people to buy here, to see their future here, to say, I see where I can get in and I see a future here. So I think the number one thing is, how do we retain our people, grow our talent? Recruiting in our area can be challenging if people have a misperception of what we have to offer here. Sometimes people think of maybe rural Oregon, or I don't know what, you know, maybe they haven't really been here and seen how amazing this community is. We have done best recruiting when we invite people to come and see. Like, come and see the community. Come and see, you know, again, why wouldn't you want to be here? I worked in Beaverton 15 years and lived up in lived in Sherwood, but kind of in that Beaverton area. And I, you know, we couldn't be happier being here. But it came to where we needed to come and see. Come experience the goodness of the people. Come and see what we have to offer. We'll need to do a better job of that. Short of just a job application. So it's inviting people to come and see. And I think that's a community conversation. We should all get behind why it's a great place to live here.
What about the aspect of the school board? Are there particular projects they have been tasked with this school year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the board and their governance role has done a fantastic job. We have a super committed board. They're very committed to their strategic plan, very committed to results academically. They're very committed to getting these safety projects done, and also taking a look at, you know, other contracts we have. Are we getting a return on those investments? And they have taken that work seriously. All of our board meetings are posted on the website if people want to see the board's work and the board in action. I'm real. It's been a pleasure. It's always an honor to serve with them.
And as you look forward, after being here for a few years and going through the pandemic and all of that, what are some of your goals, some of the things you would still like to get to in the next few years, whether that's programs or buildings or whatnot?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. I think one of the most exciting things happening in the community, one of the things I'm most optimistic about is a reminder, we have amazing students here. And we have great educators, and we have incredible families. One of the things that's most important to me that we're still working on is making sure every single day a kid comes to school, they have a relevant educational experience, a great experience at school. And one of the things that in that pathway is this, we have needs for workforce. We just talked about them in our own community. So one of the most exciting things happening that I'm really, really excited about and want to continue to develop is having pathways for students to move into high-wage, high-demand jobs in our community and stay here. I've often said it's interesting in education that we look for scholarships for students to leave us. That to me is, and I understand, I'm not at all opposed about students going to have an experience outside the community, but we have so many kids that don't know what we have to offer here. And we have a lot of high-wage, high-demand jobs in here in our community. We're really emphasizing and building some pathways around advanced healthcare, timber, advanced manufacturing, other CTE and trades programs that are high-wage, high-demand here. We have a great partnership with local businesses and the college. And I think one thing we're working on that's really exciting is we've got great talent in our classrooms that will become great community members, raise families, and work here in our community. We want to be a pathway for that.
And what do you see? Of course, you added a position, and there's been a bigger emphasis on working with the college.
Oh, it's been incredible. We have got a great partnership with them, a great president at UCC. We've met with many of our local business partners. They're excited about our partnerships. And again, we have such talented youth here. I tell people all the time, this is the best generation of kids I've ever seen. They're the most intelligent, thoughtful. This generation of kids, we can't lose out of our community. They will do great things in our community. So I'm excited about the partnerships with the college, definitely, in building pathways where kids can be in a position to serve in the community and contribute in the community long term.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Public Schools, a mid-year update. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.